The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Tali, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you, brother?
I'm doing awesome. I'm doing wonderful, man. How are you?
Hey, really, really good. Beautiful day here in Australia. Sun is shining. Sitting here with my little dog on my lap and about to have a deep conversation with a new friend.
Nice. Yes, and I'm ready, and I am excited right now.
I like what's over your left shoulder. Be strong. What does it say? Yeah. Be strong and courageous.
And courageous in the Lord. So it's from the Bible scripture. You know, it's always as you can see this one over the right. It has faith over there, and you know, just I guess to get right into some of my beliefs, some of the things that I follow is like the people look at the Bible like it's a story about God. I see the Bible as it's our guidance for us as people. And those scriptures are telling me who I am, you know, and telling me this kind of strength that I can walk in every day, you know, where, you know, being strong and courageous in the Lord, the spirit that's inside of me, you know, and bringing that every single day into every single situation. You know, that brings me strength.
Tell me about the word strong and courageous. For your definition and what you have learned about yourself over the years and what you teach other people.
Oh yeah, definitely. So strong and courageous. We'll start with courageous. People, or even how I've been taught, courageous is somebody that has no fear, that just goes out, does anything, can say anything, never hold back, you know, nothing bothers them. What I've learned is that courageous is having fear, but not letting it control you. You know, courageous is standing up for what you believe in. You know, it's courageous. It took courage for me to be able to walk in my truth, to walk in alignment with myself. I spent a lot of my life trying to just please other people. Okay, where some people could have looked at things that I did and said it was courageous, but it was honestly just out of fear because I wanted to please people, which is not courage. You know, being courageous, being able to speak in my truth and my light and what I feel is right and what I feel is just, you know, is that's courageous. You know, being strong, because life is going to challenge you. Life is going to shake you up. Life is going to try to beat you down some. So being strong is just really being persistent, to step up and rise to the challenge and not just give up, not to fold. And I think, again, it just lines up with staying strong to what you believe in. You know, how I treat people and how I have this belief that I just love people. And there's some goodness in everybody, even some people where it's really, really hard to see, but it's there somehow. And so I have a passion for people, you know, and standing in that light when everything kind of comes against me or people just speak against that light, but staying strong and we'll say courageous to speak my truth, to say, well, this is how I perceive the situation. You know, I don't agree with the tactics they may have used, but I'm not going to judge the person. And that's just how I am. And that's how I stay strong and courageous, I guess, in being myself and being in that light.
It seems to me that the common thread or the underlying message that you have is to be your authentic self, regardless.
Yeah.
And part of the, I've done over 300 interviews now, 300 podcasts, give or take. And it seems to be the common theme that I have lots of doctors that come on and doctors that have expanded their knowledge base because they want to get to the root cause. Now, the root cause could be something to do with the food that somebody's eating. Mm-hmm. It could be to do with the beverages they're having or whatever it may be. But underneath all of that, my perception and what I feel is that when we move away from who we are, our authentic self, that's when we behave in ways where we start to sabotage either our body, our mind, or our spirit.
Right.
And that's what I was hearing from you through your conversation, through your words then, is be courageous in who you are.
Yes.
And have faith in who you are too.
Yeah. All right. Which takes courage. You know, and I am 100% in alignment with that. I feel that that piece of it is such a core thing to everything, you know, to our health, to our thinking, to our peace, to our passion, to our joy, to everything. Because in my journey, I feel like I came to this point where it's like you talk about, you know, say spirit and soul, okay, and say that the soul is a part that where our emotions and our different things, to say that there's just a spirit, that an unknown entity there. Okay. And so this spirit has our layout of who we actually are, who we're created to be, however people believe that that happened. Okay. And our soul, we have some play in how we live that out. And when we try to live out this image that we create in the world, you know, because, you know, maybe my mom thought I should be this way, or my dad thought I should be this way, or my wife thinks I should talk like this, but this is what they told me in school. I don't know, but it's not true to that image that was actually created in me. That was my true self. And then we create this just inner turmoil. We create this inner battle that we're fighting. And then we wonder why we get depressed. It is like the person that we're rejecting when we're trying to accept this other image is ourselves. You know, we can't even get true acceptance from other people if we don't accept ourselves. And so how many people do you, you know, you see just seeking that validation all the time, like me, like I was, you know, and trying to say, okay, if I do this, then it's going to click and I'm going to be like accepted and it's going to be awesome. And it's like, it doesn't matter. You can win all the trophies. Why do you have like people that are wealthy and have all the fame and have all the fortune and they do things like commit suicide? There's something that wasn't lined up, you know, and it's easy to put a, I feel like it's easier to put like, you know, kind of name on it and say, well, they were suffering from this. But why do they need all the drugs? Why do they need all those things? Why is all those things happening? Because there's a disconnect internally. There's a battle that they're trying to fight. There's something they're trying to escape from. But the biggest thing that we try to escape from is ourselves. So that's been my, honestly, my biggest journey, my biggest change, my biggest, I guess, epiphany in my journey, and why I had to shift my life to even doing coaching and things like that, because that more lined up with what's true to myself, was true to how I bring value into this world.
Mm. Well, I can tell you're authentic self with the way that you speak and hold yourself, brother. So tell me about this. It's so fascinating because one word that you talk about a lot is gap. And it's so interesting because I am running with a political party in Australia, something I never thought I'd do.
Yeah.
But I'm running for a Senate seat for our state at the next federal election, which is probably in the next 12 months. Yeah. And the name of that party is called the Great Australian Party, or GAP. So when I was getting to understand what you do, you use that word GAP. And I love coincidences and how things happen. So take us through tell us about the definition of GAP and how you use this in your coaching and helping mothers find their authentic self or to break down barriers.
Yeah. So that gap is essentially that space between our, you know, authentic self, we'll stay with that, and that person that we're living each day. Okay. And for some people it's further than others, but we've acted out as this character, you know, we'll say, talk about in the corporate world. You know, we have to put on a certain face. We have to speak a certain way. You may have to dress a certain way. And we've come so used to this character that we bring to the table each day that we've forgotten what our true authentic self looks like or even feels like. So that creates a gap. And when we say, okay, well, let's try to go back to that, we don't even know what that is. You know, we don't even know what that looks like. I had to go through a phase where it's like, what do I even like? What do I even like to do? What makes me happy? I told them that this makes me happy and I pretend, but it doesn't really. And I have no clue what makes me happy. You know, what do I want to do with my, I have no clue. I'm good at this, but whatever, you know? So there's this gap where we have to go back into ourselves. And we have to honestly do some digging, and we have to question our beliefs. We have to question where it came from. We have to question whether those beliefs were just planted in us and we just took it at face value and now we've run our lives by it. Or is this something that actually lines up with some of my core values? And what are my core values? You know, we look at our habits. So for me, one of the things that I've had throughout my life is that I'm a person that people like to come to and talk to, you know, open up their issues and other things like that. People trust me for whatever reason, but I've always had a passion for helping people. I want to see people succeed. I want to see people feel comfortable in their own skin. That is a huge value for me, you know? And so I try to find the good in people. So I know I love people. Whether they love me or not, I'm going to just be who I am and just do that. You know, I love art. I love when people put their hearts into creativity and just seeing the passion in that. I love that. You know, so some of the things that I had to come back to and say, okay, but let me backtrack. I'm an engineer by trade. Okay. That is nothing like I just talked about. That is completely different. Okay, we deal with numbers. I deal with electronics. I deal with all those things, right? That's how I came up through school. I ignored the art and everything because I felt like that wasn't going to make me the money that I needed, because I needed to just help my family. So I ignored everything that I loved. You know, do I hate electronics or all that stuff? No, but it's not my true self. You know, so I had to get back to just questioning, why does this make me angry? Why does this make me happy? Why do I focus on this? Why am I buying art books instead of electronic books? Why am I, you know, those things that we kind of subconsciously do, but we start being aware of it. Okay. And then that helps to ascend to who we actually are. And when we start piecing that together, we can start closing that gap, you know, and then we can start actually shaping our lives by what's important to us and our values and our real identity, you know, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, what we create, you know, or even one aspect at my job, it was looking at it and saying, okay, I feel like this is draining the life out of me, but I can't leave this right now. And then turn around and saying, okay, how can I take my values, what's important to me, and lay it out on this job so that I'm performing at a high level, right? I'm executing, but I'm also getting some fulfillment out of it because it's now connecting to my values, not just what's important to the company, you know, but I can only do that after I close the gap. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does. And tell us about the job that you do now. I mean, it's so fascinating because I've had a number of engineers that have been on this podcast because they have a way of looking at systems and structures and the world with a different lens, which then lends them the ability to help others find some solutions. So tell us about the transition from engineer to what you do now and how you would define what you do now.
So as far as the engineering side, and I still love looking at processes and systems and strategies and things like that. So I think that plays a lot into, you know, me coaching now, because even finding that gap, right, there's a process there that people go through. There's things have to line up, you know, in a certain way for things to make sense for people, for things to come to light. You know, I think a lot of times when we talk about like mindset or we talk about really anything mental or trying to be positive or something like that, it's so lofty. And it's so like, oh, you know, you just think positive and it's like everything just cool after that and you just be happy. And it's like, no, it's not that way. It's like, I tried that. It didn't work, you know? and so understanding that, you know, there are steps in the process, understanding and being able to listen to people and finding patterns, right? Because that's the same thing with engineering. When I go troubleshoot a system, you know, my engineering, we did automation. So there's a lot of programming. There's a lot of electronics. So everything follows a certain process. Okay. This hits this, has to hit that, you know, to make this all work as one function. And that's like people. Okay. Like that creativity has to hit that, logic has to hit that, you know, emotion correctly, has to hit that belief right there. And then all of a sudden you come up with this. You know, and and speaking of that, right, where I look at your beliefs, right, and I believe your beliefs, they'll control your emotions. Your emotions will control your actions, right, and then your actions will reinforce your beliefs. And I actually missed a step between emotions, thoughts, and then actions, right? And so it's, again, a system, right? And a lot of times we try to change our actions, and we end up doing the same thing, even though we may change it for a little bit, right? And so we try to change our thoughts, but, you know, our emotions are too strong, you know? So then we just try to ignore our emotions. But the fact of the matter is there's a belief there that's guiding your life, you know, and you got to actually look at the whole sequence and go back to the beginning and say, okay, you know, perfect example. I would get upset if my wife told me one day, like, I missed a spider, like trying to piggle on the wall. It was fast, you know? And so I missed it. And it was like, oh, you're too slow. And then that clicked on something on my belief that it wasn't enough. So then I got upset, you know? And so my thoughts went, my emotions went, my actions went, right? But it wasn't really what she said. It wasn't even about the spider. It was about a belief I planted in myself that told me I wasn't enough. And so her saying that was a sign that triggered my belief. So it's all about systems. It's all about processes. And when you can look at that and kind of step back from a person when you're listening to them and take it all in and find the little patterns and find the beliefs that they talk about not knowingly sometimes, and then start questioning that, then it's kind of easier to break apart the puzzle and then say, hey, look, this is all the pieces. How do we want to fix it back up?
Which makes it even more interesting when you're in a relationship because they're operating off their own belief system.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You acting not fast enough might have been a belief of, if only I had the capability or the courage to go and face that spider myself, but I might have the belief that spiders are dangerous, you know, actual fact, most spiders are dangerous, you know.
Right. Exactly.
And the spider has the belief that they're scared of you.
Right.
So it goes on and on and on. And
it does.
We can be consciously aware, especially in relationships, relationship to ourselves, but to others, and then to the larger, I don't want to say the larger population, but to the reality in which we inhabit, you know, because a lot of people have these quite limiting beliefs about the future of the planet, the future of humanity. Yeah. Can one person actually change something? And that then comes down to these limiting self-beliefs that, as you just said, you know, you're not enough. You're not worthy.
Right.
And I've been fortunate enough to go on this journey for a long time, and I've had maybe 1,000 different sessions plus of looking at belief systems. And my belief is it'll probably keep going for the rest of my life, that this will keep coming up in different ways, shapes, or forms, but I'm not so triggered anymore, and I get to catch myself. And I'd love to delve into a little bit here, Tali, about how it has changed for you over the years that you've been doing this work for yourself and your relationships and others, and whether you have more humor about it all now than before.
Yeah. Well, I definitely have more humor, but I'll go back a bit. We'll say about 10, 15 years, right? This type of person I was, no confidence, didn't like who I was. That belief that I wasn't enough was pretty much my core belief about myself. I couldn't come on here and speak to you. Most of the time when I was speaking, I was muttering and people couldn't understand what I was saying. Figured I wouldn't end up really being anything or anything like that, right? So I started on this journey of just one that I studied in successful people and like, how do they think? Why are they so different? You know, but they're all intriguing to me. I started doing that. Then I started getting into personal development, and a lot of it came down to, right, why am I like this? Why am I being like this? When I have this little glimpse that I feel like I could be more than what I'm living out right now, you know, I'm more of a bigger person than I'm living. And so I had to start really questioning, you know, really what do I believe about myself? What do I believe about my life? What do I believe about my journey? Some of the things I had to, my father wasn't a huge part of my life. I had to go back and deal with that situation. to let some things go there because I was carrying around a lot of anger. I had to, you know, we'll talk about marriage. You know, me and my wife got married. There was a lot of things that we needed to work on personally, you know, and so we didn't want to do the divorce thing. So I was like, all right, we have to figure this out. And a big part of my growth was through the marriage too, and just being it, okay, I'm dealing with this one way. I'm dealing with it as the angry husband that's going to fight back. Okay, that's not working. All right, I'll just be the silent one. Okay, that's not working. I'll just encourage. Okay, that's not, all right. I was like, I'm going to stop trying to change you. I'm going to work on changing me, and I'm going to see why these things get under my skin. I'm going to see why, like, I feel like I have to be this way towards you or that way towards you or whatever else. And so that's how I found that belief, really, that I wasn't enough, why the spider thing bothered me, you know? And I was like, all right, like, I don't have to react like that because it's not true, you know? And so when things would pop up, there was more awareness. It's what it really comes down to. There's more awareness to my thoughts. And it's like, all right, why am I feeling that way? Okay. Even on, you know, I have coaches. So they were doing a seminar the other day and I started to feel overwhelmed by something. And, you know, I had to stop taking notes. And on the side, it's like, all right, I've had this feeling before when I was on, you know, a big webinar, seminar thing. And it's like, why am I feeling like this? You know, and it's like, okay, because one, I know there's so much I want to achieve and I know that I want to achieve it. And I'm still questioning whether I can do this biggest goal, you know? And so I was like, okay, I can live with that, but I don't need to carry this now. So I was able to change my emotions so I could focus and do what I need to do and make the right decisions. 5 years ago, I couldn't do that. You know, being able to, you know, listen to my wife now and say, okay, and be aware of the situation, listen, not just react, and say, okay, I understand that you feel this way, because the more aware we are of ourselves and the more accepting that we are of ourselves and our emotions, the more that we'll be aware how other people are feeling. And the more that we can understand that it's like, okay, it's not necessarily about me. You may be taking it out at me, but it's not really about me. It's about the situation and how you feel. Just like on the spider, it's like, the anger is not towards me. It's about the fact that she's afraid that the spider is going to get her. You know, it's not that me, you know, but I see it as a personal thing at that time. Right. So the more that we take that time to develop, and the more that we take that time to raise our awareness about what's going on with us and why we feel a certain way, and so we start questioning those beliefs, then we're able to look at the world differently. We're able to look at the world and say, okay, you know what? That man stole, not because he's a bad person, but the thing is that he sees life in a certain way. He's been through certain things that makes him feel like he probably can't earn that by himself and be able to go to the store and pay for that. And that lessens his status. And so his self-worth is low. So him being able to steal that and have it raises his self-value, okay? Which is probably way deeper than most people think about it. But the fact is, it has a lot of truth to it. You know, the reason that people do things is there's always a backstory. There's always some emotional validation, the emotional self-value tied to it. There's a certain perception that they want to feel. There's a feeling that they want, and it's tied to their beliefs about themselves, not even just about the situation. But we can't see that until we start looking at ourselves and questioning our beliefs and accepting where we are, who we are. And that's also the only time that we can actually start adjusting it to line up with how we want, what type of person we want to be in the world.
Let me ask you this question now. Mm-hmm. Do you love what you do now? As
I do.
A job?
I do. Like, just nothing's perfect. Okay. So let's not pretend that I'm gonna sit here and do all or everything I do is wonderful. And I just like hop out of bed in the morning every day and it's like there's a rainbow and the birds are chirping. But there's times that things are not so fun. But when I see people win, when I see people overcome an adversity, when I see people start to have epiphanies, just when they feel like they're winning.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.